The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Romans, the 7th chapter, which may not get preached from as much as Romans 8 because it's so depressing, Paul writes to us what I kind of affectionately have referred to in my own studies as his M&M sermon. But it's not the kind of M&Ms you're used to. The kind of little chocolate ones that taste so good. You know, what Paul's writing about in Romans chapter 7 has almost a little bit of a bitter taste sometimes. And I'll start reading to you in verse 18. Will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now I have to read that real slowly to not mess that up. I don't think I messed it up. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now the reason that Paul could delight in the law of God after the inward man is because he's a born-again child of God. He has the Spirit of God dwelling in him. And he says this in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. There's your M&Ms, okay? There's your members, and then there's your mind, all right? Now, it's interesting to me, and I'm very glad also, that the Word of God explains to us some of what we experience in this life as children of God. Isn't that a mercy? That the conflict that rages within us sometimes is explained to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. And the reason I say it's a mercy is because of, right? Because as born-again children of God, our mind wars against the desires of our members. Now you say, Brother Neil, what are our members? Well, just look down at your body. That's your members. That's your fingers. And you know, some of the things you can only see if you look in the mirror, like your ears and your eyes. Your feet, those are members. Also, members of your body are the parts of your body that you have covered tonight. It's the physical manifestation of your body. Now, the mind, okay, we don't want to oversimplify things, but we're just going to use Paul's lingo here because you could spend a couple weeks or more probably trying to tease out the difference between the soul and the spirit and the mind and where that links in with the body. Let's just stick with what Paul says. He said there's a struggle between the members and the mind. Now, for someone that's not born again, there's not really a struggle. their members just do what their mind wants to do. And the mind just directs the members, and the members feed back into the mind, and they just go along. But for those people who have what Paul will call, in other passages of Scripture, which we'll hopefully get to look at, the mind of Christ, they don't just have a carnal mind directing them, okay? So the born-again child of God is saying to do. And that's played out for me, I'll tell you, a lot of times in the middle of the night when, you know, when I've had a hard day and I've slept 3 or 4 hours and I get up and I'm stumbling through the pantry. Because these members, my fingers, are looking for the Little Debbie box. Naomi played a trick on me here a while ago and dumped all of the oatmeal cream pies into a wicker basket so they're not in the Little Debbie box. But I found them anyway. So the other night before I went to bed, last time I bought them, I accidentally bought those really big ones. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they make the little tiny ones, which one is never enough. But then they make those really big ones, which really one at a time is just almost, it's just almost overkill. Like it's more than you need, you know, it's more than the sweet tooth really needs. And you eat it and you just go, oh, why didn't I eat that whole thing? So, before I went to bed, I ate a half and I carefully wrapped up the other half and put it in the pantry. About 2 a.m., of course, I wake up and I go in there and my members, you know, they find the other half and I eat it and wash it down with an ice cold glass of milk. And my mind says to me, you just need to go back to bed. That's enough. You may be getting into gluttony if you go any further. But my members said, half is not enough. Because I went in there and got out another one. And I ate half of that one. And I did have enough self-control thanks to my mind, which I trust was partly the Spirit of Christ trying to help me be temperate. that I wrapped up the other half and put it back in the wicker basket. I hope I'll find it tonight when the kids didn't get it. But you see, that's maybe a little humorous example, but see, we do that all the time, don't we? And it's not just our members, our tongue and our organic part of our brain desiring some sugar that we're addicted to. You know, sometimes it could be stuff that's a lot higher stakes, right? But we're warring against our members, in a sense, with our mind. I should say the mind of Christ is warring with us. And it says, it brings me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. You know, Paul is a born-again child of God. He's an apostle. We read about it in Acts when, you know, he's on his way to go lock up Christians and kill them, and he's born again on the road to Damascus. At least I believe he was born again there. And he has a change of direction in his life. And so whereas before on the road to Damascus, his mind is bent on locking up these Christians and throwing them in jail and doing all kind of horrible things, and his members are carrying him straight down the road to do it, he meets the Lord on the way. He's led by the Spirit of God, but he's also struck down by the voice of God and the Lord himself. And now he has a new mind. He's born again. And so now he's got a conflict in his mind. But now what we understand is that when a person is born again, okay, they've got a change of heart. They've got a change of mind. They've got the Spirit of God. There's a new creation inside them. But we're not told in the Scripture that anything changed about his body, right? Now, if it did, you know, we don't read about it. And you know, if someone's born again in their mother's womb, they have the Spirit of Christ, but they just grow up like everybody else, right? They grow up and they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 12. They go through puberty. They start having to deal with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, just like everybody else. Because even though they're born again in their spirit, they still have the members of the body to struggle with like everybody else on the planet has. It's just that for the person that's not been born again, there's no struggle there, per se. They just kind of go along and do things. Now, they can be disciplined and they can be taught to have some restraint in a natural way. Okay, but they don't have the mind of Christ. So they don't have that same struggle. So, you know, if we think about that sometimes, it's a blessing, but it can the back of your mind saying, uh-uh, that's not for you. Okay? Young ones, listen to that, okay? Okay, listen to that. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble because the mind of Christ can help you to control your members and direct your members. And he says in verse 24, O wretched that I am, man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So within with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So let's talk for a few minutes about the mind. If you read through Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, the letters, you know, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you won't have to get past the second chapter of most of those writings of Paul to the different churches to read something about the fact that the Lord has given you His Spirit and given you His mind. It's just pervasively through there. We won't go everywhere tonight. But if you would turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Because although you could find this concept in a lot of places, it's just very eloquently put here, and our brothers quote these passages of Scripture a lot to demonstrate this concept to us about the mind and about how we struggle with the flesh. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, as they are spiritually discerned. So he's speaking to what man is like in his nature. Before he's born again, when we don't have the Spirit of God, we don't receive the things of the Spirit of God, we're not worried about them, because we got a sinful nature from our parents handed down all the way from Adam. And until we're born again, that's all we're concerned about. Again, setting aside the fact that, you know, a parent could teach any child some basic discipline in life and some basic just principles of how to stay out of trouble. But to truly have a desire for the things of God, you've got to have the Spirit of God. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we get the mind of Christ? Now, we don't have the physical body of Christ in our attributes. In fact, some of y'all aren't even men, right? Ladies. And we know that Jesus is literally in his glorified physical body on the right hand of the majesty on high today in heaven. Okay? What do we have of Christ? We have the mind of Christ. Well, if we have the mind of Christ, we must have received the mind of Christ, chapter 8. And this wasn't the scripture that McNeil was preaching from. But we read this in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay? What do we have of Christ? Those of us that are born in, we have the Spirit of Christ. Right? So if we have the Spirit of Christ, we've been given the mind of Christ. Now, what was the mind of Christ like? If you flip over a few pages to Philippians, the second chapter. Again, I told you, the first couple chapters of most of the letters, you're going to read about the mind and about the Spirit. It's a theme that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write, and he was just very organized, and he writes about it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men." So, the mind of Christ, okay, manifested itself when Christ was here in a certain bout, not just taking care of himself. You know, he wasn't, so far as we ever read about, riding around in a golden chariot or on some kind of a gold-plated airplane or something like that, like all the televangelists. You know, he walked around, he ministered to people, he listened to people, he talked to people. Now, he could do some things we can't do, like heal people. I realize that. But we can certainly have that attitude, right? When my members, okay, specifically this member that's inside my mouth that's wagging tonight, my tongue, when that member gets head up and wants to just lamb blast somebody because they lamb blasted me, you know, what would the mind of Christ do? I think the mind of Christ would say, "Neil, just keep your mouth shut." Amen. Right? Control that member. Because see, that member, remember the M&Ms, that member is warring against the mind of Christ in me. Now, it's not warring against my natural mind, this organic brain that I still have left. Because let me tell you, if the mind of Christ wasn't helping me to restrain it, I can say some things that I regret. You know? And I can't tell you exactly where the mind of Christ stops in terms of, and it directs the movement of these members starts. There's an interaction somewhere, but God knows where it is. And the Spirit of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit, the joints, the marrow. Listen, when this organic brain that's addicted to stuff and gets angry with people and gets emotional, when it is at a point of just blowing up and saying something and turning these members loose to the point of, you know, chewing somebody out, or, you know, Lord forbid, slapping somebody or something like that. Listen, I believe the mind of Christ is able to restrain that and help me restrain that. Do you believe that? Do you see that in your life? And the mind of Christ is such that even folks that don't have all of the law and don't completely understand everything that's written in the Bible will manifest some of that. Okay? Romans chapter 2, again, you don't have to go past the first couple chapters usually to read about this. It tells us about it. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature..." Remember, before you're born again, you just have the nature of Adam. But he's saying here there's some Gentiles who didn't have the law of the Old Testament to read, because nobody really had it other than the Israel. Gentiles began to read it. Most of the Gentiles didn't have it back then. But he said there were some Gentiles who do by nature the things contained in the law. So even though they didn't have the law written down and they couldn't go read it, by their nature, they did some things that were contained in it. Tells me they had a new nature, right? "These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." In other words, there are some people In the days before, we had the New Testament church and the preaching of the gospel and the letters of the churches and the New Testament to read in general, who were outside the nation of Israel, and what they had to guide them was the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God in their hearts. And so by nature, okay, they did a lot of those things that were written in the law, even though they didn't have the law, okay, because they had the mind of Christ. We see an example of that in Hebrews 11 chapter. We won't turn there. When Moses forsook Egypt and the things that were going on there and all the glamour and glitz and, you know, the court of Pharaoh, okay, it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Now, did Moses, so far as we know, name the name of Christ? The Lord revealed himself to Moses as I am. But when Paul writes about what Moses did, Moses then, before the Lord called him out and called them out of Egypt and actually gave them his law, Moses was esteeming the priorities of Christ over all the things that Egypt had to offer. Because in the Old Testament, the born-again children of God had the Spirit of God. They had the mind of Christ too. They just didn't have all the written down details that you and I are blessed to have. So if the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ, could lead Moses before he had written down the law under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and given it to the Israelites. And of course, God wrote it down on tablets after he called him up in the mountain. But you know, Moses wrote, of course, you know, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and wrote all those things down. But before he had that, he was following Christ because he had the mind of Christ. So when Paul says, and again, we could go to a lot of other passages of Scripture, for sake of time, we won't tonight. But to understand it in a simplistic way, and just to maybe give a couple of examples. Lord. Okay? For one thing, it's an evidence that you're a born-again child of God, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as Brother McNew already told us, they are the sons of God or the daughters of God. When you feel that struggle, when you want to just, you know, just tear somebody up with your tongue and tell them everything that's on your mind, everything they did, and something that says, no! Control that little unruly member in your mouth. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Thank Him that, okay, that tells me I'm a child of God. And number two, thank Him that you kept your mouth shut, because who knows what they would have done to you. Right? What about, you know, maybe you're checking your email at home or something, and some picture pops up. It might be something that you ought not be looking at, young men. Young ladies, it might be something that you want to look at that's not immoral. It's just, you know, you can't afford it. that's lust of the eyes. You know, and you see that pop up, and you're like, well, I want to go look at that. But there is a caution in the back of your mind. And it's not just your mind, it's the mind of Christ saying, no, don't let your little members walk over there to that mouse or whatever it is on your computer and click that. Okay? It's a conflict that could save your marriage. It's a conflict that could keep you out of debt. Okay? It's a conflict that could keep you from getting addicted to something that should never be part of your natural mind, and your organic brain and those synapses should never see or recall. Because the mind of Christ said, members, back up. Okay? It's M&Ms. You listen to your members, you listen to the mind. Paul said, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Most of Romans chapter 8, after about the 16th verse, which might have almost got to, basically it tells you about all the wonderful things that the Lord did for you. Would you agree with me? Predestination. Right? I think that's a wonderful thing. Justification. The calling of the Spirit. The glorification that we'll experience someday. All of those things that the Lord did to us. And we read over in like the, we won't read it all, but down, you get down to 19, 20, 21, 22, 23rd, 24th verse down in there, we read about how we're saved by hope, how we see those things afar off. I'm a son of God. If I've been given the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, I have cried out to the Father. I have asked for forgiveness. I have professed Christ. I've joined the church. That's another evidence that I'm a child of God. And the Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. That's verse 19. Those are three evidences right there that all of the things that follow are part of my inheritance in God, and that someday it will no longer be just a hope. It will be a reality. But part of also of the evidence that I have is not just in hope, but is an evidence in conviction. When my members desire X, Y, Z, and the mind of Christ says no, and by the power of God, I'm able to say, okay, I'll leave it alone. I won't click it. I won't open that package. I won't say it. I'll control these members, even though it's a conflict. And it tears me up. You know what that reminds me is I won't have that forever. I won't have it forever. When I was born again, I was given the mind of Christ by the grace of God, but it still struggles just like the Apostle Paul struggled 2,000 years ago. I still struggle with the flesh. Well, what's my hope there, Brother Neil? You don't have a body like Christ. You have a body that's inherited the sin nature of Adam, and you still struggle, and you still have to slap that hand and slap that jaw and say no sometimes, and it hurts. I hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what hath he yet hope for? In closing, you know, John gives us some great hope. If I can find the passage of Scripture that I'm looking for, yes. In 1 John chapter 3, that a day is coming when we won't have the Eminem struggle anymore. It's not going to be mind over matter anymore. Because a day is coming, brothers and sisters, when the Lord splits the heavens and calls us home, or after we're dead and we lay in the grave, He's going to come back. And just as surely as we have the Spirit of Christ and the mind of Christ today, we're going to have a body like Christ has, which is glorified and is sinless and is perfect. And there will no longer be this disagreement between the members and the mind, because we're going to be with Him and it's going to be right. And it won't just be a hope anymore. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Young people, don't worry if your friends perhaps don't understand that struggle you have between the members and the mind. Their members are just carrying them right down the road of unrighteousness or something like that, and they don't understand why you don't follow along. It's the mind with Him in the next. Suffer a little bit with Him. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." You got His mind now, but someday you're also going to have a glorified body, and you're not going to struggle like this forever. "For we shall see Him as He is." But here's what He says. While we're here, you're going to struggle with the Eminem struggle. You got the mind of Christ. I'm sorry to tell you, but you still have the members of Adam. "And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." I guess if I could say one thing closing this message, it would be this. In the important stuff, don't listen to your members. Listen to the mind you've been given, the mind of Christ. Okay? Now, when we're talking about oatmeal cream pies at 2 a.m., but you always remember that. When that movie comes on, their mind of Christ wants to lead those little members right over there and change that channel, let Him lead you.
Amen.
On the other hand, when that pop-up comes up and those members are wanting to dance right over there and click on it, and the mind of Christ says no, let Him lead you away. Let Him lead you. Mind of Christ won't steer you wrong. Those members sometimes will. I thank you for your time. And if you want any of those other verses of Scripture, we can look at them sometime. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, we know that we have the law of God written in our hearts by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of other ones, but I think it kind of, Paul confirms it over and over and over and over. Okay? You're born again. That struggle you feel between the members and the mind, it'll just remind you of that. And we can thank Him for it. And we can look with hope for the day when it won't be there anymore. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I look forward to a little bit more every day, especially after a day like today. Thank you for your time.